Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton and our producer, Katie Galley, and another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. And Stone, this will be a fun one.
Hey, I think this is going to be a blast. We got a full studio. We have entourage, paparazzi, fans, the whole bit. This, I've really been looking forward to this one. We almost pulled it off a couple of weeks ago. Got our wires crossed a little bit, didn't we, Michael?
Well, that's okay. Just a bit.
Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, first up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, we have co-founder and president Michael Everts and general manager Brad Williams with Shared Space. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you, Stone. Good morning, guys.
Thanks so much for having us.
Well, Michael, can you talk a little bit about Shared Space? How are you serving folks?
Yeah, absolutely. So we opened our first shared space in 2016 in Dunwoody. It was a small space, about 5,000 square feet, and it's a co-working space. You guys, being out of spaces yourself, I'm sure you're familiar with the concept. We started in 2016, about 5,000 square feet, and within 4 to 5 months, we'd almost filled up the space. So we expanded on our floor, and just actually about 2 months ago, we opened up our second location, who my friend Brad Williams is the manager of.
Yeah, and we have about 13,000 square feet over in Cobb County now. We just had our soft opening about 2 weeks ago, and we're very excited to finally kick it off.
Well, can you tell, educate our listener a little bit about co-working? How is that different than a traditional office space?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing I like to say about co-working to explain it to people is it's like a gym membership for an office. You can pay as little as $99, depending on the co-working space, and have access to facilities, including Wi-Fi, coffee, conference rooms, a lot of the amenities that small businesses, these freelancers need to kind of get their work done in a professional atmosphere.
Now, but is it like a gym membership where I pay and I never go? You know, you got to watch.
We hope you come. We hope if you're not coming, something's wrong.
Right. So
we,
are you doing things to encourage me to come?
Absolutely. You know, a big part of the co-working business, a lot of big part of shared space is the community. You know, we're now over 200 members strong, which we're pretty happy about for being a little less than 2 years old. You know, that community has really grown into the Cobb space as well. And so we now have members that are using both locations, commuting back and forth, or using the one that they really live close to just to, you know, have a good business experience and get those meetings done instead of going to Starbucks.
Now, is that who this is targeted towards? Is it that solopreneur, that freelancer that is kind of tired of the distractions of working out of the house and the dog barking whenever they have a conference call?
Yep, the lawnmower, the kids. Absolutely. And so that's a big part of what Shared Space is built for. We know working out of home, you can get a little stir crazy. We know that going to a Starbucks, the Wi-Fi could be bad or non-existent. And we want to build an experience where you can be professional and impress your clients. And I think we've done that at Dunwoody. And now with our Cobb location, I think we've really taken that to the next level.
Now, in some of the co-working, some of your competitors in that space, they've kind of evolved their target towards not the solopreneur anymore, but enterprise that are looking to expand and maybe have, you know, one or two floors in a building. Is that part of your roadmap of growth?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we'd love to get there one day, and we're already starting to see some larger companies. We have a company called Avid that does audio and sound design that uses us as a satellite office. We are kind of new as a co-working space, so we got to continue to gain brand recognition, and I'm confident that those larger companies will come. Right now, though, we're really focusing on the kind of entrepreneurs, solopreneurs. Those small either accountant shops, graphic design shop, might not have the aspiration to grow to a 100-person company, but they've been doing business and making money for 10 years. And they're looking for professional space to get work done that's not their house. We really, at this point, are kind of catering towards those people and are selling a lot of 1, 2, and 3-person offices for those smaller teams.
Now, Stone and I have been doing this for a while now. And when we started, there was maybe one.
Yeah, maybe.
I listened to an interview y'all did in 2008 with
Strongbox West,
one of the founders of Rome.
Rome Radio back in the day.
Yep.
And then Strongbox West was one of the pioneers in the space here in Atlanta. How have you seen it evolve? Because at first it was kind of this kind of quirky thing, and now it seems like there's somebody on every corner.
Yeah, well, without a doubt, I was just having this discussion the other day. But if you go to California, if you go to New York, you actually see one of these on every corner. Now, part of that's due to the population density. Atlanta's not quite there yet. But people are now really understanding the need for this type of work environment for co-working. Right now, I'd say less than kind of, if you asked 100 people on the street, I bet less than 5 of them would be able to tell you what co-working is. And we see that as a really good thing because as more and more people learn, the market will continue to grow. And yeah, I mean, you're seeing more and more of these spaces pop up, more niche spaces. I saw a space on 400 that's focused on lawyers exclusively. So you're going to see these workspaces, maybe a workspace for people doing podcasts. In all seriousness, we're building a podcast room into our next location.
Oh, are you?
Because we've had a lot of requests for people that just need an hour or two of podcast time, but don't want to set up all the equipment. We can provide that for them in a professional experience. So, you know, as this trend continues, you're going to see more and more niche spaces. Our niche right now, we're really focusing on the suburbs of Atlanta. You have some other people that are focusing on Midtown, on Buckhead, on downtown. We say, hey, there's a lot of people that live out in the suburbs. Let's build spaces near them. They can kind of build that neighborhood community. And that's, I think, helped in part our success.
Now, the demographic, are they typically young or are they people maybe in their second act?
We have typically people from about 20 to 35, small, medium-sized businesses, and people who've kind of started their second company and are not really so interested in growth. But we have a lot of small companies, medium-sized companies, up to about, I'd say, general range is anywhere between 25 to 35 is our typical age.
Mostly us young folks, Lee. So I want to ask you, and maybe this question is mostly for Michael, what was the criteria? What caused you to pull the trigger on the second location? Let me tell you why I asked. I see a lot of entrepreneurs come through here, and some of them have fallen into that that pitfall of expanding too quickly.
Yep. Yeah, so absolutely. So when we opened the first one, I told you it took about 6 months and that was 10 private offices. So not huge, about 10 months to fully fill that out. At that point, we expanded onto the floor of our building and we actually raised a seed round last year.
Oh yeah?
Yes, sir. So we actually raised $750,000 last year. We put together kind of a proposal for our investors for what our plans were. And we kind of had some pretty aggressive expansion plans. This market, we just talked about, there's a lot of spaces out now. It's not quite saturated yet. I can imagine the next 5 to 10 years, it will be. So part of our kind of impetus to get the space open is to really build a lot of these spaces around Atlanta and kind of have them fill in with our continued member growth. And you know, we're seeing that at Cobb already. Does that answer your question?
Well, yeah, it does. In this Cobb location, we haven't been out there. We swung by the Dunwoody location. The Cobb location, it's out there near the ballpark. Tell us about this place.
Yeah, so our Cobb location is I like to say it's the sweet spot for the Battery. It's close enough to walk, but it's not so close where you have to fight the traffic getting to the red lot or the orange lot. And it's easy. which one is it? It's easy for people to get to our space, to the Battery, and kind of enjoy that whole scene that they have going over. So we like to share that energy that they've created over there and we like to bring it back to our space.
Yeah, we also build a 1,200 square foot event space that can fit over 100 people.
Yeah.
So that was key. We're seeing so many requests for events at our Dunwoody location. And because it was our first one, we didn't have a big dedicated event space. But you know, the Cobb space, we really built on everything we learned from Dunwoody. We improved the conference rooms. We improved the technology. We improved just really the whole experience of the space. And that, you know, that's a big key part of our space you'll see is the technology. We have keyless access codes to get in. You have credits to book your rooms. So depending on your membership level, you might have 2 hours a month, you might have 10. And it's kind of a la carte, really based on what you need for your business. Very, very flexible. And you know, at the end of the day, we feel like it's a lot easier to, you know, sign a month-to-month agreement rather than it is a 3 to 5 year lease, especially if you don't know where your business is going to be in a couple of years, if you're going to upsize or downsize. So that's really the benefit we see in one of our spaces.
Now, you mentioned that the demographic are these solopreneurs, or that's the kind of the target, but are they only in tech or can they be, you know, like make bead jewelry or something? Like, is it just technology companies you're looking at?
We have a lot of really cool different companies from nonprofits. We have a coding school, Digital Crafts, that's actually based out of Atlanta as well. All the way to tech companies and just
we've had tequila companies, we've had vodka companies, Clearwater Vodka and Goza Tequila. So we've a lot of different types of companies. You know, it's not just tech, but really our niche is those local kind of suburban neighborhoods that we're focusing on. It's people that are building businesses around there and don't want to drive to Buckhead or to Midtown. They want to be close.
We're going to need the tequila people here in the studio. We're going to dive into that story a little bit. Did I catch you just a moment ago saying that the typical arrangement is month to month?
Oh, absolutely. So month to month, I mean, obviously, if you sign a longer term agreement, there's kind of discounts associated with that. But we're all about flexibility. You know, we believe in the model where someone can walk in, get us signed up, and we can give them an office space that day. So no more dealing with an agent, no more going through this long, complicated legal process, going from office space to office space. You literally walk in like you're browsing inventory at a store, pick the one you want, swipe your credit card, and you have an office. And we really think that that's going to kind of change the way that small to medium-sized businesses right now are going to kind of evaluate and find and purchase. I mean, not purchase, but, you know, kind of sign leases for office space.
Now, is that how you differentiate yourself from some of the larger players? Because some of the larger players in town are billion-dollar companies.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, generally with the WeWork, the billion-dollar company, or even Spaces, they build large co-working spaces. We're talking 50 to 100,000 square feet, and that is their model. We've taken a little bit smaller approach. Our spaces are generally 15,000 square feet. And what we found is that when you have spaces larger than that, it's really hard to keep a sense of community. The number for a community really needs to be around 200 to 250. And after that, people start not remembering each other's names. You really lose that sense of belonging and kind of place. And so we feel that our kind of unique size for that market is really going to help just build a community in Cobb and Dunwoody and wherever we end up going next.
So then community is at the heart of what differentiates you from your competitors?
Absolutely. That's a big part of it. And Southern hospitality, I like to say.
All right. So we got, there's the space. Are there other services as well to support all this? I know some of these organizations may provide some sort of virtual services, answering the phone, that kind of stuff. Have you guys adopted some of those things as well?
We do, as far as our amenities that are included, we do coffee, printing, parking, and Wi-Fi. And generally, we have a lot of community events where we allow our members to get together, to network, to share their ideas, to share their expertise. And additionally, we have a lot of members who have started to work together as well. We have some
that serendipitous interaction, that unplanned interaction is what we strive for, is, you know, making our members clients of each other, because that's the goal. Our tagline is share your success. And we really, really believe that every single member coming into the space, we want them to share their success. We want them to share it with everybody. And as you know, in effect, the whole space, the whole community grows. And so the community is a big part of it. I mean, we just installed a large 150-inch projection screen in our Cobb location. You guys need to come see it. But community events, I mean, we do this thing called shared skills, like Brad said, where we'll have the CEOs get up and tell real lessons to other members of the community, of the group, you know, on a normally monthly basis. But yeah, that's been really effective in bringing everybody together.
I think one of the biggest advantages of working in a co-working space is this kind of way, the ability to kind of create these mashups in with the facts are most small businesses don't make it, you know? So the fact that you could meet and network just organically as you're going about trying to make your business work.
Without getting locked into a 5-year lease.
Exactly. Then you can get in there, you can show your value to other members. And then if your thing doesn't work out, you can partner or, you know, co-brand or co-work with each other and really leverage the term co-working, because you become kind of partners in each other's maybe new business.
You know, we're sharing each other's success.
Right. So that, I mean, that's to me the secret sauce to all these things. And I think that your advantage is going to be the ability to really foster these relationships and help them, you know, make it easy for them to exist and to grow, because a lot of these bigger firms, that's the first thing that leaves, you know, they're trying to make everything into a system and a process where the individual gets kind of lost in the shuffle.
So did you guys have real jobs before all this? What's the backstory with you, Brad?
Yeah, I was actually, I was a teacher for 5 years. I taught Spanish and math, and I was just living in Denver, finished with Teach for America for the past 2 years. And then before that, I was actually teaching English in Santiago de Chile. And
Brad and I went to high school and elementary school together. So we've known each other for a long, long time.
Don't forget Boy Scouts, too,
Mike. We had a lot of Boy Scouts together. I didn't make it to Eagle like Brad, but yeah, we've known each other for quite some time.
So, Brad, you're okay hanging out with non-Eagle Scouts?
It's all right. I'm okay with it.
You're slumming with Michael.
Just okay.
Brad went camping this past weekend, actually. He just got back from trip.
You can't see over the radio, but I'm quite sunburned. It's pretty easy to happen when you're this fair skinned. So,
any impetus for you, Michael, to get in this line of work?
Yes. So before I started ShareSpace with our other partner, Daniel Levison, he's not here today, but Daniel has a tremendous background in real estate and really has been kind of kept us all sound with the real estate. I mean, he's helped us find our new locations and really just helped us manage each space. Before I met Danny, I actually worked for an audiovisual company called Avive for 5 years. So we built and designed corporate collaboration spaces for all sorts of Fortune 500 companies around Atlanta, SunTrust, Georgia Power, Georgia Pacific. And so that's the first thing when I came to ShareSpace, that's the first thing I did is rebuild all of our conference rooms, get them set up, get them built the effective way for meetings. And after that, people just started using them, booking them more and more. And it just kind of helped grow our success. So we put a big emphasis on the technology and the collaborative conference room experience.
Now, you mentioned commercial real estate. At the end of the day, that's what these businesses are, right?
I would argue that we're actually hospitality businesses. So hospitality first, commercial real estate second, and then a little technology third. But it's really all about, for us, not just the space that we're giving, but the experience. From the time they walk into the door, you almost want to give a hotel type experience. You want these people to feel taken care of. And that's really, I think, the big differentiator with co-working spaces these days as opposed to that traditional office space. It's the next level of hospitality you're going to get that we think is going to elevate your office experience.
Now, are the people who are running the buildings, are they more and more comfortable with these type of entities inside of their spaces?
It's definitely an interesting question because, initially a lot of building owners saw us as direct competition. And in some cases we are, but what building owners are learning is that if they can support the entire building with a small co-working space, they actually help the entire building as a whole. They give their other building clients places to meet, places to get coffee, places to network, and it actually just increases kind of the value of their building as a whole. We're starting to find out, but that relationship's still getting worked through today.
And for you, you got the new Cobb, and then you have kind of a roadmap for growth outside of Cobb and just keep expanding in Atlanta and then expand outside?
Yes, sir. So actually, our third one we're looking at now, and we're pretty confident about this, we're going to Augusta next. Are you guys very familiar with Augusta?
Well, a little bit.
We happen to be.
So Augusta is known for more than just the Masters. Augusta has a fort called Fort Gordon next to us. That's the largest cybersecurity fort. Really kind of in the U.S. They go and train a lot of people there. So there's this huge influx of cyber technology that's moving to Augusta and Atlanta as a whole. And we see an opportunity down there to go. There's no co-working spaces in Augusta to go and put one of these down there.
Be a first mover in Augusta.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, we believe that some of the larger players, the WeWorks, and so we don't think they're going to go put a 50,000 square foot space in Augusta. It just, quite frankly, would be too big. The city wouldn't be able to support it.
You might want to consider Savannah.
We're looking at Savannah very heavily as well.
So are we.
Yeah, we were just there last week. Love that place.
Oh, yeah, it's incredible. You want any ghost tours?
Yeah, I didn't this last time, but I've been on one.
Oh, they're fine. They're fine.
So if an entrepreneur is out there and is looking for space in Cobb or Dunwoody, what's the best way to get a hold of you guys?
Absolutely. So check out our website, sharedspaceatl.com. We will be, if you say that you listen to this podcast, we'd be happy to give you a free week just to try out the space. We think it's important that you can try the space, make sure it's a space you want to come back to. You can also reach us at info@sharedspaceatl.com.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show.
And Brad, maybe you'll let us be on your radio show if you're setting up a podcast studio out there at the Cobb studio, right?
I'll try to pencil you in, guys. There's no guarantee, though.
We understand.
Well, keep up the good work. This is exciting. I think you guys are doing fantastic stuff, and we want to continue to follow your success. And we're definitely going to come out. Yeah, we're going to come out and see your place.
Come on, guys. Awesome.
Yeah. Hey, how about staying with us? We got one more guest we're going to visit with this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, Lee, it's time for the headliner.
All right.
You ready? All right. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Executive Vice Chairman with Ronald Blue Trust, Mr. Russ Cross. And good morning, sir. How
Stone,
are you?
Thanks for having me here.
Delighted to have you, man. So did you learn anything in that last segment?
I did. I learned, I have a fellow math teacher over here right to my left. So that was my background. I taught math for 3 years, way back in the late 70s.
Well, Russ, can you tell us a little bit about Ron Blue Trust? How are you serving folks?
Yeah, well, so Ron Blue Trust is a holistic financial advisory firm. So we serve our clients in every aspect of their finances, from tax planning, insurance planning, estate planning, investment planning, all that. And we do it with a fee-only perspective.
And then I've always been curious about this. The client acquisition portion of your business is tricky to me because people are so weird about money. Is that something you have to deal with?
Well, I think our unique niche of we're primarily work with Christians to help them free up resources, fulfill the Great Commission. That's been our mission for 40 years. So people are attracted to us because of our unique mission. Similar to these guys talking about space, you know, we're really a peace of mind company masquerading as a financial services company. And so people come to us because they really want to be good stewards and have peace of mind with their money. And we don't sell any products. What makes us a little unique is we're a fee only advisory firm, and that really sets us apart. And becoming a trust company, which we just did in the last year, we moved from a registered investment advisor to a trust company, better depicts what we're really all about because we're that trusted advisor. So we do way more than investments.
Now, can you educate our listeners about a trust company? What is different about that?
Yeah. You know, we used to be a registered investment advisor. So basically in the financial services industry, you have brokers, you have RIAs, and that's what we were for 40 years. But we realized we couldn't do everything our clients wanted us to do. They kept saying, you know, we trust you. Can you be trustee? Can you pay bills? Can you be custodian? These kind of things. Well, in the registered investment advisor construct, that was hard to do. So becoming a trust company allows us to do everything our clients need for them to do and really stay with them through their whole life in the generational planning for children and grandchildren, things like that.
Now, how important is it for your clients to not just kind of protect their wealth that they have, but also to leave a legacy and leave something behind?
Well, we call that word posterity, the generations that come after you. And it's very, very important for our clients that they leave a legacy, not just a financial legacy, but what we call a spiritual and social capital legacy. And we all leave three types of capital. We leave financial capital, social capital, and spiritual capital. And what our clients understand is if you don't build a foundation of spiritual and social capital, the financial capital will be dissipated. And so it's very important for our clients to have a holistic approach to their financial planning. And that's what really sets us apart.
Now, walk us through that first conversation you're having with somebody who maybe isn't familiar with this kind of three-prong approach.
Well, I think, you know, they, like I said, they come in and they, you know, finances is something that everybody's interested in. And so they show up, they've heard about us because they know that we're looking at the whole picture and we're doing it from a fee perspective, meaning we're on the same side of the table as them, not selling any products. And we basically then help them get their arms around where they are. Most people don't even know where they are. And then we start discussing with them, you know, what are their goals for their family, for their retirement, things like that. And then we put together a holistic picture of what that all looks like. And then we really coach them. You know, our clients have been clients for basically their lifetime. I mean, once they become a client, they stay a client for a long time. And that's because we're kind of a personal financial coach. You mentioned earlier with these guys that they were like a gym membership. Well, you know, they pay us to stay beside them and coach them because there's so many things going on. The world just keeps, you know, the investment markets change, the tax laws change. This has recently happened. And so they need somebody there to guide them through this labyrinth of confusing issues they read about. And so that's the role we play. And that's what sets us apart. Not a transaction where you sell a product, but this ongoing consulting or what we call discipleship with a client in the financial area.
Okay, so my wife has a real job, right? So there is some patent money somewhere in some drawer, some bank somewhere. And I'm trying to envision someone like you sitting down with Holly and I both. And maybe in our case, I do think we communicate pretty well about money. But I wonder in a lot of cases, when you're working with couples, are you like half therapist and you're just trying to even get the two of them on the same page before you can even help them?
Well, Stone, yeah, when I started in this business, I thought I was a financial advisor, but I ended up having these couples fighting across from me. So, yeah, money can bring out your different backgrounds, different temperaments, different male-female differences. So, yeah, but we've written some books on that, as a matter of fact. But, yeah, we really try to work with the couple because we're after harmony in this money thing. Don't want money to disrupt your marriage. And so, yeah, we'll basically refuse to meet with just the individual person. We want the couple there because, you know, you don't want the person that's not there will become the Uncle Louie. You know, you start down a path and then the other spouse says, well, I don't want to go that direction. So we will not meet with just one part of the couple. We'll meet with both of them. And yeah, there's some issues there, but you know what? That's one of the things we do. We don't mind getting in the sloppy soft side, hard stuff. It's way more than just investments and getting your taxes right.
All right. And there is an intentional focus on serving people from the Christian community, or at least those kind that that type of value system. And is the rationale associated with that somehow connected to people with that value system approach, or at least want to be educated to approach money, wealth, legacy, giving and all that in a certain fashion? And that's just the folks you want to hang with?
Yeah, Stone, you know, that's our unique niche. Our company was started 40 years ago when the founder saw all the needs in Africa and the wealth in this country and said, okay, I'm going to help people be more generous. And so our whole purpose is to help people free up resources for needs, not only in their local communities, but around the world. So that is our focus. We help people give away money. And you know, we have a Bible verse for that. It says, instruct those who are rich, 1 Timothy 6, instruct those who are rich not to be conceited or to fix their hope in the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies them with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, and to be generous. And if we read the scripture further, those people are called wise people versus the farmer over in Luke 12 who stored up, and he was called a fool. So we really try to help our clients be wise with money so they get to the end of their life and realize they've exhibited wisdom and not been foolish. And so, yeah, our clients, that's attractive to them. You know, who wants to be a fool with their money? And so those are the kind of discussions we have with our client, and generosity is just part of that.
Well, I expect they're, if nothing else, they're probably at least more coachable.
Yeah.
Right? Than the average bear.
Yeah. I mean, right? If you're just chasing investment return, that, you know, that just gets to be a dead end street, because, you know, you change your investment advisor about every 2 or 3 years. But if you're about something bigger than that, and how do I help my values be manifested in how I handle my money, then yeah, it's a much bigger discussion. And giving is usually a part of that. And interestingly enough, most people don't know this, you guys, but we have a matching program in this country, because, you know, you get to deduct what you give to charity. So the government, in essence, is paying 25% to 40% of what you give. And people don't realize that. So you can be way more generous than you realize. When you give a dollar, it doesn't cost you a dollar. And I've been doing this for 40 years, and I still find it interesting that most people don't even understand that. So people can be more generous than they realize.
Now, most people with some level of wealth have kind of a handful of trusted advisors around them. They have a banker, accountant.
Yep.
Where do you fit it in on that table? Or who's the quarterback?
Very good question. That's the role we want to play. For 40 years, we wanted to be in that quarterback role, same value, same wavelength as the client. And then we'll coordinate the investment advisor, the banker, the attorney, the CPA, and all that. And that's why we don't make any apologies for the role we play, because we work with wealthy people. They have all those people in their orb, right? But if you ask the spouse, who do you call if something happens to you, who's your wife going to call, for example, you don't have an answer to that. So we're the answer to that question. So back to your question, if I was meeting with you and your wife, I'd say, all right, Stone, who's your wife going to call if something happens to you? And you've got all these people in your life, but you need that one person that's going to be the quarterback.
And then that's an important person for the family, because like you mentioned in Stone's case, you were kidding around, but Stone, he may not make it as long as his wife.
He looks like he's
Lee knows
good
things
shape.
About my lifestyle.
I bet the other.
Statistics are that the woman's going to outlive the man.
And then what are the repercussions of that in real life?
Well, so, you know, that's really the picture I want to paint, is that something happens to Stone and his wife has one person she calls and then coordinates all that. Mm-hmm. And that's a tremendous value to people. Because,
well, it's a tremendous responsibility.
Yeah, but because you've lived with these people, our advisors have lived with our clients for 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years. So for example, something happens to me, Julie knows to call George. George knows everything. He knows the accountant, the attorney, the investment person. So she just deals with George. And George has been our advisor for years. And so he'll be the go-to person.
And then that gives the spouse the peace of mind to know that the bills are going to get paid. The machine's going to keep running.
And she doesn't have to worry about, well, what do I do now? You know, where do I put that insurance proceed? Mm-hmm. You know, what do I do when this guy comes and wants to invest money and all that? So you said the key word there, peace of mind. People are looking for peace of mind with their finances, and because there's so much, you know, noise out there, if you would. And that's really what we want to do, is give people peace of mind by saying, hey, we're going to be that quarterback, that trusted advisor. Personal CFO would be another label for what we are.
And then, but typically that's unusual, right? Don't most people not have a person like that, so that if there is a death, then all of a sudden it's chaos and they're looking through drawers, looking for folders, finding things years later, like, I didn't know there was an account over here, you know, when you get the annual statement. Like, that's the norm, isn't
it? That is the norm, Lee, and that is a very frustrating position for a family to be in. And so we try to take that frustration off the table. We like to tell people everybody has a family meeting. It's usually after the funeral when one person's not there. So we want to get ahead of that and have the family meeting ahead of time. Explain to the kids, explain to the spouse, you know, where things are, where they're going, and here's the person you turn to.
And then that's part of, like you mentioned earlier, these hard discussions. And that's just built into your process, is to address these things before they become a crisis.
Very much so. I mean, we're like I said, in a discipleship consulting coaching process with our clients. And just similar to what these guys were just talking about on a monthly fee, our clients pay us an annual retainer, depending on complexity and assets, to do this whole, what we call a holistic wealth management service.
And when you're having those initial conversations, are some aspects of those three prongs easier to deal with than others?
Well, yeah, the financial one's usually the easiest because, you know, you get the tax returns and the financial statement, and you can pretty quickly get your arms around the finances. Then you start talking about their spiritual goals, their social goals, and social capital are things like work ethic, responsibility, integrity, things like that. So those are a little more difficult to begin to understand where the family wants to go with those. So the finances is usually the easiest one to get your arms around.
Which is counterintuitive probably when you started, right?
Yeah, well, you know, no, we realize that people are interested in money, and so they come in through the financial window. Mm-hmm. But then once you start talking to them, there's all these other issues that you have to deal with. It's not just about the money.
And the impact that they're going to leave on the planet is in there as well. And
that's
really at the heart of your service. So you're really trying to get them to kind of focus on the real worth and value, not just the money they have.
We're all going to leave a legacy. And if you just leave a financial legacy, that's kind of a hollow.
It's perishable.
It's a hollow. And right. So we really want to take them deeper, you know, an impact on community. I mean, these guys were talking about community and society and my neighborhood and all that. And if I've been blessed with the financial resources, then I've got some accountability to use those, not just to build bigger barns. Mm-hmm. And so that's the discussion we're having with our clients. And we work with great clients who really do realize, hey, you know, I've been blessed here. So what do I do with this? And those are the kind of people we really enjoy helping.
Now, are your clients only the super wealthy, or like what's the range of a client for you?
No. We have four divisions. Our first division is the Everyday Steward division. So these are folks just starting out, you know, young couples, young entrepreneurs we're just talking about. They're maybe making $50,000, maybe have an IRA with $25,000 in it. So they need help too. They need the principles, need to get on the right path. You know, mm-hmm. Direction determines destination. So what path are you on? So Everyday Steward is our kind of entry level. Private wealth is really our main source of clients. These are folks with six-figure incomes and seven-figure investable assets primarily. And then we have a family office segment, which works with generational families, large, wealthy families that have a family business. Mm-hmm. And then we have a professional athlete division. So we can really serve at any level. So they'll come in either Everyday Steward. They may grow from an Everyday Steward client to a private wealth client over time. But yeah, we can pretty much serve anybody with the principles.
Can you share a story where you worked with somebody who, you know, got started, maybe worked their way up and has left really a legacy that they're proud of?
Yeah.
You don't have to name names.
No, I'll go back 30 years. A guy showed up at my office, he's making $30,000. So we start working. He's in a family business. And over the 30 years, business grew. You know, it was a generational business from his dad to him. And, you know, now in the last 5-6 years, both of his parents have passed away. So Gen 1 has passed away. He's Gen 2. He's got 4 Gen 3. And it's just been beautiful to see the whole plan come together where they've been able to leave millions of dollars to charity, be able to take care of their family, get the business to the son in the business, and still have equal estate to the other three children. So that's really kind of that's over 30 years of working with them and buying the appropriate insurance at the right time, setting up the right estate transfer techniques in the 80s and 90s. And that's the key word I would say is sophisticated planning is a process. It's not just a product. Mm-hmm. And so that was a beautiful situation of a whole lot of things coming together. Generosity, taking care of the family. And that's just one illustration that comes to mind.
And your firm is involved with the autism awareness as well? That's important to you guys?
Well, I think, you know, given the fact that our clients, know they need to be using their money to be about something bigger than themselves, whether it's autism or any other number of things, you know, how do you set up trust? How do you use this money to take care of, children who may have autism or whatever? So I think the biggest thing, Lee, is that they realize it's not just about the money, that I'm a steward of it. And if I've been given a lot, then I like to tell people, if you don't make a lot, it's really easier than you think, because it's not quite as onerous as if you have a lot. If you have a lot, you know, your responsibility goes up. To him who much has been given, much is required. And so this idea of what do I do with that? You know, how do I help my community, take care of my family? And, you know, that's where the trust idea comes in as well.
Have I got it right that the whole idea of this word steward is kind of like, it's not really yours anyway. You're just sort of managing it while you're here, and you have responsibility, obligation to manage it properly. Is that?
That's exactly right. You know, the Bible is very clear that God owns it all. You know, the cattle on a thousand hills are his, you know, the land is all his. And so we're stewards. So whatever you have, and it says it's a blessing of the Lord which makes rich. It says in Deuteronomy, you think it's your ability to make wealth. No, I, the Lord, have given you the ability to make wealth. So around this table, we all have different wealth levels. So we're to steward that. And so you're exactly right. We are stewards, you know, during our sojourn here on earth. And so that is what we're supposed to do. And if you've been given a lot, guess what? Your stewardship responsibility just went up. That's why, you know, we work with wealthy people and everybody thinks, well, I just have more money, get easier. If you have more money, it gets harder because you have more options.
Right. It's more onerous at this table for Lee than the rest of us.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I didn't. You're just saying, right?
I'm just saying.
So yeah, stewardship is the operative word here, that we're going to be accountable for, all right, I made a big income, had a successful business. What did I do with that? And that's why, you know, it's just interesting. And there's another interesting principle here, Stone, and that is that the Bible says you'll always have your needs met. And so I've done this for 40 years and never seen anybody not have enough to meet their needs. So maybe not their wants, but you know, you're going to have enough to put food on the table in most cases. And so it's just, if you have that surplus, what do you do with it?
So now for you, you mentioned you started out as a math teacher. Did you foresee this?
I did not. I taught math for 3 years, coached basketball and football in a large high school outside of Kansas City, and then heard about this guy named Ron Blue that's starting this company to, you know, and I thought, well, I'm good with math and I'm decent with people and maybe I can combine those two disciplines. And so my wife of 1 year and put everything in a U-Haul near Benicia, Mississippi, and came to Atlanta, Georgia. I was supposed to learn how to do planning and then moved to Phoenix. I tell my wife I'm a slow learner. I'm still here. So, but that's how it came about. And I have been able, I'm still a teacher. What's interesting, Lee, is that, you know, I got my education to be a teacher, but I really get to still teach. Mm-hmm. And we teach these biblical principles of finance and tax planning and investment understanding and all that. So it's just kind of interesting. I just get to teach in a different forum, usually one-on-one with clients.
So if somebody wanted to learn more about your firm, what's the best way to get a hold of you guys?
Well, www.ronblue.com. And go on the website and you'll see our different services and different segments of our business.
Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today and sharing your story.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks to all our guests today. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.